You're listening to the Stress in the City podcast, a self-care resource for anxious introverts and people pleasers. I'm Brittany Nicole, your host and podcast BFF. In each episode, I teach strategies for creating a life that turns you on. So, my friend, if you're ready, get your tea and take notes. This is Stress in the City. Hi, friends. Welcome back to another episode of Stress in the City. Obviously, by the title of this episode, you can probably discern that this is a pretty personal topic for me. And I've tried recording this episode a few times now. I didn't like the way the other versions of this episode turned out. It felt too venty, too personal, maybe even too revealing. And that's not really the point of this. This isn't about telling my life story. My reason for starting this podcast, two mainly. One, as a practice for myself, part of my own personal healing journey, and validating that my words have force, that my voice has value, that my truth matters, and that it's okay for me to share my opinions. And then the other part of that is kind of a pay it forward kind of thing. So much of my healing journey has been guided by strangers online by way of YouTube, social media, podcasts, books. There's so much content that I've consumed made of other people's stories and other people's truths that have really helped me in my journey. And there's, I think, like a character arc that I share with these people where we have gone through these horrendous experiences that have broken us and somehow found a way to not just put ourselves back together, but to use the wisdom that we fought for to lift other people up. And that's what inspires me. I used to be a person that had this giant wall between myself and the rest of humanity. And seeing other people do that for other people, that's what made me believe in people again. So here I am with my truth about failing at marriage. This episode is part letter to my 23-year-old self and part serious food for thought for anyone considering a partner for life. So here we go. Lesson number one is you have time. You have time. I remember being 23 and feeling so behind in life. I'm laughing at it now. I'm 33. Like, why the hell would I think at 23 I need to have it figured out? But anyway, I felt behind. I didn't go to the college I wanted to go to. I hadn't pursued the career that I wanted to pursue. I was living at home. I didn't have a good relationship with my family at the time. And all I wanted was to get away, to have my own life, to differentiate and have my own identity. And I think I thought that marriage would make me feel like I was a real person, like I was legitimate in some way. Like it would clean up the dysfunction in my history and make me normal. I was in love at the time. So even though there were red flags, I ignored them. I really wanted to believe that it would all work out. And I didn't have a concept, an accurate concept, I should say, of time. That's funny. My therapist recently said to me that when I was telling her my story, she said, you got married before your brain fully developed, which for women is like around 26-ish. And I have to say, I kind of agree with that because when I compare what my mindset was like back then to what it is like now, it was very childlike. I could not conceptualize the future the way that I can conceptualize it now. I hadn't even thought to think about what this relationship would look like 5 years, 10 years, 15 years from now. The only thing that I could see at that time was now. And because I was, I guess, feeling the time pressure, because it's like, all right, you graduated high school, you're supposed to like be done with your college by now, like you should have it figured out, you know, I really believed that I was supposed to have my life figured out by 23. That's insane. I wish I had known that it's okay to not have everything figured out by a certain time. And this arbitrary timeline that we seem to hold ourselves to, it doesn't actually mean anything. It's not a guaranteed recipe for happiness. It doesn't mean that you're successful. It doesn't mean that you're normal, whatever normal is. Like it's one way to operate, and it may not be the right way for you. So take some time to figure out who you are and how you actually want to live, what your values are, what your needs are, what your baggage is. Like you don't just figure that stuff out. But I didn't know that then. At the time, I had only been exposed to one way to exist in the world, and that was dysfunctional. So to me, getting married, having a decent job, having my own place to stay, that was a step up. That was an extreme step up. And I regret that I rushed into marriage before I knew myself, before I knew what I wanted, before I knew what I needed. And I regret that I ignored my gut instincts, because what I ended up rushing myself into turned out to be an abusive relationship. I could have taken so much more time to figure out what my value was and made a way more informed decision about who to choose as a life partner and what kind of life I actually wanted for myself. Lesson number two, you have value. Something I know now that I did not know before is what self-worth is and just how much of a protection it is to have it. I don't even think the phrase self-worth popped into my head at all. And if it did, I'm sure I didn't know what it was. But let's talk about what self-worth is, because it can seem kind of ambiguous. So let's say you have a brand new luxury car, whatever car you like. I like BMW convertible, so I'm going to use that. Now, because that's a valuable car to me, I'm going to baby it. I'm going to be finicky about where I park it. I'm going to be finicky about like the places that I go if I feel like it's kind of sus. Not going to do something stupid like take it off-roading and get it dirty and destroyed, right? That's my baby. It's precious. It's valuable. That's kind of what self-worth is like. Your self-worth is basically how you would rate yourself on a scale of worthless to valuable. Where do you fall on that scale? And how you rate yourself is going to determine the things that you deem acceptable and unacceptable for your life. Here's the thing that gets tricky about self-worth is you can live your entire life without any awareness at all of where you place yourself on a scale of worthless to valuable. And that was a rude awakening for me. I was fooled by thinking that because I dress nice and people gave me compliments and people thought that I was pretty, that I had value. Like, that has nothing to do with it. That has absolutely, absolutely nothing to do with it. How you look has nothing to do with your self-worth. And that's what I thought. But despite the fact that I got a lot of external validation, I actually had very low self-worth. Very low. And how that showed up in my life was unconscious beliefs like, I'm not going to pursue what I really want in life because I don't believe I deserve to have it. I'm going to tolerate being treated poorly because I'm not worth being treated delicately. I showed up as it's okay for me to be unsafe because I don't deserve protection. It showed up as I don't deserve boundaries. Now, of course, I wasn't going around like consciously thinking this. I'm not driving in my car just like, oh yeah, I definitely don't deserve to have boundaries. No. The scary thing is I'm not even aware that this is what I believe. That's what an unconscious belief is. I didn't know that I believed it was okay for me to be unsafe, but that's what I believed. And because that was my unconscious belief that supported my choices. Fortunately, I had a very good therapist who was able to point this out to me and gave me some tools to be able to change those beliefs. And so there are two things that need to happen when you want to change your perceived value. First, you need to develop awareness of your beliefs about yourself, because like I said, this is something that runs in the background. It's something you believe that you don't even know you believe. And how can you fix what you don't even know is broken? Now, after you identify and become aware of where your self-worth falls, you have to practice changing your beliefs. You've got to learn to actually watch your thoughts objectively. Like if you're watching a show on Netflix, on the TV, on the screen, what you're watching on the screen is happening on the screen. It's not happening to you. That's the way that you need to start to look at your thoughts. Just, okay, this is a thought that came up. That doesn't mean that it's true. It's just a thought that came up. Once you are able to separate yourself from your thoughts and be able to watch your thoughts objectively without automatically believing them, then you can start to challenge them. Now, I hate this word. I hate the word affirmations. I love the practice of affirmations, but I hate the word affirmations because, I don't know, it just has this corny connotation to it that automatically makes me not want to do it. And when I was given that homework to start to do affirmations, I for months was like, I'm not doing that. That's dumb. It sounds corny. It sounds stupid. I'm not doing it. But don't look at it that way. I had to change my mind about affirmations because it's not corny. It actually, and this is what I prefer to call it, it's reprogramming your mind. And that's powerful. To be able to change the operating system of your mind from something that's not working for you to something that is working in your benefit is amazing. And affirmations or reprogramming your mind, whatever language makes more sense to you, is a key to be able to unlock that. So if you have zero experience with affirmations, you are in luck, because I'm going to, right here, right now, work through a belief I'm currently trying to reprogram in my mind. And then I'm going to walk you through it so that you can practice. Okay? And you don't get to judge me. All right. So I'm going to use a phrase, and I'm going to say this phrase to myself, and then I'm going to tell you what comes up, like what reaction I have to that phrase when I say it. And the phrase is, I am a money magnet. I know it's corny, I know, but stick with me. I am a money magnet. When I say that to myself, I am a money magnet. Immediately, I'm uncomfortable. I don't like that idea, and that's why I chose it. I don't like the idea of me being a money magnet. Like, it makes me feel materialistic when I say it. It makes me feel corny when I say it. It makes me feel selfish. I am a money magnet. It makes me feel like embarrassed for admitting that I want money. Okay. Those are the feelings that come up. Sit with that. All right. So those are the feelings. Now I'm going to look at them kind of objectively. When I say I am a money magnet, that makes me feel materialistic. Why? Like, why should I feel materialistic about wanting money when I live in a material world? How else are you supposed to get material things? Are material things inherently bad? Doesn't money give me the access to what I need? And can I want more money for myself and have a balanced view of material things? Like, does one automatically equal the other? So I'm not going to sit here and say, after 2 seconds of going back and forth on this question, I automatically believe I'm a money magnet. But that's what it looks like to challenge your beliefs and reprogram your mind. Doesn't happen automatically. It's a practice. It's training your brain to think thoughts that will help you create the life that you want. So now it's your turn. Try that for yourself. I want you to hear yourself say out loud, I am a money magnet. And when you say it, ask yourself if you believe that, or if it feels off, if it feels foreign, if it feels weird when you say that. And then ask yourself why. Why either you believe it or why you don't. What I want you to experience is the battle between what you're saying and what you believe about what you're saying. This is not about trying to make you believe that you're a money magnet. This is really about getting practice exposing your subconscious beliefs. If you tell yourself, I am a money magnet, and then your immediate thought is, that's stupid, great. Why is it stupid? Investigate that. It's this practice that helped me to realize the value that I always had. It's this practice that helped me to realize, oh, you're actually a good person. Oh, you're actually really kind, really loyal. You're hilarious. You're smart. People like you. Like, these are things that I did not internally believe. I did not become these things once I started to believe it. I always was. I always was a good person. I always did have a good heart, but I didn't believe that. What I believed was that I was broken and I deserved broken things, but it wasn't true. And I encourage anyone who has a big life decision to think about where they are with their self-worth. And this extends honestly beyond relationships. You could be accepting a job that's paying you way less than you deserve for your talents and skills because you don't believe you're as talented and skilled as you are. You have value. And knowing that is a protection. Lesson number 3 is you have options. You have options. I wish I had known that a healthy relationship shouldn't require you to change key aspects about yourself in order for the other person to be happy. You should not have to be less of who you are. You should not have to dim your light. You should not have to give up on what you value and what your needs are in order to keep whoever you're with happy. And conversely, you should not have to change huge aspects of who your partner is in order for you to be happy. You should not have to want your partner to change their values or their core beliefs in order for you to want to be happy. That's a recipe for a really difficult relationship. It's much better to start from a place of high compatibility. I want you to think about a friend that you have that you can just be in the room and do nothing together. Y'all can be on your phone doing your own thing, and that's fun. It feels good. You feel connected. You don't have to try. You don't have to force conversation. You don't have to entertain each other. It just flows. Now I want you to think about a friend that you like y'all are cool, but you wouldn't really hang out one-on-one with this person. Like, you probably need another person to hang out with y'all just to balance it out, because the one-on-one vibe is just not, it's just not. Like, one person you're more compatible with than the other. And in my experience, it's best to put a premium on compatibility. You can love somebody, but when you love somebody and you're compatible with them, that it's different. Compatibility can look like two things. It can look like the couple where they both love to dance, and so they take dance classes together and they go to the club together, and like that's how they bond, and that's their thing. Or it can look like the couple where one person hates to cook and one person loves to cook. And so the person that loves to cook does all the meals, they take care of all the food, like that's what works for them. So you got to figure that out for yourself. And you have to know that you have options. There's so many people on this planet who are not too weird. You are not asking for too much. There is somebody for everybody. And if you don't believe that, YouTube, literally anything. Anything that you want to see, somebody made a video for it. If that does not convince you that there is truly somebody for everybody, I don't know what will. This is a wide world. You don't have to settle. You don't have to abandon yourself. You don't have to shrink yourself. You might have to take a little time. You might have to put yourself out there, move around a little bit. Who knows? But you have options. So these are the things that I have learned the hard way, the very hard way. Paid the price. You have time. You have value. You have options. And that's always going to be true. It doesn't matter where you are in your life. That's always going to be true. I hope that my sharing this helps somebody. I wish that I had been more discerning with my life choices, but I made the best decision that I could make at the time, and I know better now. But because I know better, I'm sharing. And I have to hope that maybe I learned these things way late in life so that somebody doesn't have to. I want to thank you for listening to another episode of Stress in the City. And if you're enjoying Stress in the City, please follow wherever your pods are casted. But more importantly, if this was valuable or helpful to you at all, share it. All right, that's enough of me. I'll see you next time.